League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello friends, I'm giddy as a schoolgirl on this Monday morning because I didn't get much sleep last night. And the reason is business is truly picking up at Ipswich Town. Ipswich Town last night announced the signing, club record transfer signing of Amari Hutchinson, completely smashed the existing record to smithereens, obliterated it, left it in pieces. Amari Hutchinson, done deal. This morning, Ben Johnson through the door, free agent, done deal. And also, a bit of a shock this morning, goalkeeper Václav Hladký out of the door, departing the club. Maybe not something we're expecting, but lots to get stuck into on this Monday morning in the sun at Heath Towers. The whole damn gang is here. I'm not going to bother with introductions because I know you just want us to jump straight in to the bloody football. So let's dive in. Stuart Watson, Amari Hutchinson is Ipswich Town player. He cost an initial £18 million. That's going to be well north of £20 million when it's all said and done. The club record is £4.75 million. That's been completely blasted to bits. How are you feeling about it?
I keep using this term surreal. It's all very surreal this last sort of 12 to 18 months. We keep getting these little sort of pinch me moments and these little flashbacks to, I've got a few mates that were sharing some pictures of Leon Best and the summer where it was the three signings all happened on the same day. It was, who was it? Stephen Ward, Ollie Hawkins and
David Cornell.
Cornell, yeah. Come a long way in such a short space of time. Just spent, an initial £18 million on a kid who's only made 25 senior starts, lest we not forget. And that's where Ipswich Town are at. So, of course, we're all super excited because of the development arc we saw in Amari last season. The way he finished the season on absolute fire. Really exciting and great that they've managed to do it at such an early stage of the summer as well.
Surreal is the word, isn't it, Stuart? As I said to Ross, we did a live this morning and I still feel like someone's going to like tap me on the shoulder and I'm going to wake up and Town are like still in League One. Marcus Evans still owns the club. And all of this has been some sort of feverish dream that I've had. We did some fan reaction last night around the Amari thing. And there was one phrase in particular that struck a chord with me. And I can't remember who it was. I'll find it actually so I can name check them. But they used the term, it feels like anything is possible. And that's, to me, like how this whole scenario has felt under McKenna and Ashton and the new owners. Things are happening we never thought we'd maybe see happen. Don't fall in love with a loan player. You can't sign them. Oh, yes, you can. Just drop $18 million, sign Amari Hutchinson. Incredible stuff. AJ, it's not always been like this, mate. So don't get too comfortable thinking it's always been the land of milk and honey and these kind of things are normal at Ipswich Town because they're bloody not. But how are you feeling about Amari through the door in a minute or less, please?
Oh, boring. it's all right, isn't it? I think I remember we had the discussion before saying that would you like to keep him? Yeah, we'd like to keep him. Maybe having this discussion maybe in January or something like that. But it's not going to happen realistically because Chelsea are going to want him. They might want to develop him. And if he goes, there's going to be interest from big Premier League clubs, established sides who are going to be able to bid $18 million. And Ipswich probably aren't going to be in that kind of bracket. And probably even coming up to the Premier League, there were those doubts and question marks. We've seen other clubs come up and maybe haven't gone and spent in that way. But the fact that Town have gone out and done it so early on as well shows the ambition, which we all knew was going to be there because we were promised it would be there. And now to see it materialise again, just within the first couple of weeks of the window is pretty special. So as exciting a start as you could ask for, really.
Yeah, Rossi, be honest. We've talked for a long time over whether or not Town could get Amari Hutchinson back. Be honest, though. Did you genuinely think this was going to happen?
No, to be honest. You know, I know that is that pool there with McKenna. And also we have got money now, the Americans have got the dollar to splash. But I just felt maybe other clubs would just have an extra pool because, you know, he was linked to some other European clubs. Obviously, Champions League football, they could have maybe offered him maybe more money, potentially. But he's probably liking the project here. And obviously, he wants to play on the McKenna. So, yeah, I'm bloody buzzing, boy, because this is a fantastic signing. And, yeah, I said on a previous podcast, like, I wouldn't want to spend $20 million on Mari Hutchinson. I think that's a lot of money for a player who's only had one, you know, senior season in football. But they haven't spent over 20 million. I know there's add-ons and stuff that will be included. So I don't mind the fee because, you know, he's 20 years of age and a 5-year deal. He's the long-term future of this football club. So, yeah, big asset.
Mm. Well, then, before we obviously, I want to spend a bit of time talking about Amari. We'll talk about Ben Johnson. We'll talk about Vaz as well. But before we get on to the kind of serious stuff about Amari, I'm enjoying the fact they're putting out these pictures of them. Obviously, they can't put out pictures of them in the kit because they haven't released the kit. So they're kind of soft focus, wearing t-shirts of it. And obviously, Amari's come back sporting a new look, friends, which I'll just bring up here. Because when I saw this last night, and admittedly, I was tired. I'd got out of bed. I was sat in my pants. Yeah, in this little middle bedroom doing this stuff. Very glamorous life that I lead. My wife was not at all happy. Here's Amari. There he is, look. His new bleached blonde hair. I thought, I've seen that somewhere before. It reminds me of someone. And this comparison is about to age me significantly. Maybe only Stuart Watson knows the guy I'm going to bring up. Because it reminds me of this guy.
Cisco.
That guy, Cisco. Yeah. I've not seen that kind of... I mean...
Fong Song.
Exactly. Exactly. So Cisco, who's obviously made himself famous with the now iconic classic Fong Song. You seeing that, boys? I mean, Alex is probably sitting there going, who the hell is Cisco?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair enough. But he was very famous around the turn of the century for... said Thong Song. He also had a group called Drew Hill, who did an excellent song called How Deep Is Your Love. And that put me in mind of him there, Stewie. Straight away, I thought, Amari's got the Cisco.
Yeah, but platinum blonde, is that?
Platinum, and, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the rimless glasses. He's certainly got the Premier League footballer's look, hasn't he?
1,000,000,000%. Sure. Yeah, right then. I can tell you're uncomfortable talking about this. So let's talk about serious football, shall we? Amari Hutchinson signs due, as you alluded to there when we were talking about it. He, yes, he's come through the door. He played very well last season. That was his first season in senior football, and he wasn't an every game starter even last season. So in terms of the deal as a whole, is there any argument that it's maybe a stretch in terms of spending that much money on a guy who's not actually played senior Premier League football to any kind of extent?
I think it's fair to say it's a calculated gamble. You've had a bit of a try before you buy. I don't think Ipswich would have spent this much money on a player of his limited experience had it not been in-house with Ipswich. But the fact that they've kind of seen his thirst for development, which I think above everything else, and we'll get on to Ben Johnson in a bit, is probably top of all assets when it comes to Kieran McKenna. He's a coach who likes to improve players, and you need to have players that are of that mindset, that want to come in, not just on games, but every day on the training pitch and improve themselves and be better and soak up advice. And Amari was certainly that. We heard, you know, right back at the start of pre-season that Kieran McKenna had that conversation with him that says, I know you can do the step overs. I know you can hurt people on the ball. But off the ball, you can be world-class in terms of your dynamic pressing abilities and things like that, and trying to unlock qualities in players that perhaps they didn't even know they had or recognise they had. So, yeah, we're hearing a lot about FFP and PSR and all that sort of thing. Mark, the phrase we keep hearing from Mark Ashton is we'll be brave and bold. They're very aware of what the wriggle room is. And I'm sure this is, you know, this is kind of that they had a limit in their minds of what they could go to. Chelsea needed to get some money in ahead of what was essentially sort of a mini transfer deadline day ahead of the sort of the accounting year finishing. So, the stars, we talked a lot about the stars needing to ultimately align for this to happen, and that's what's happened.
Absolutely, yeah. We started to see it last summer, didn't we, when they signed George Hurst, who'd been very good on loan. But now, stepping up and spending this much money on Amari Hutchinson is like the next level entirely. AJ, five-year deal. What do you reckon the ceiling is for Amari Hutchinson? How much, I mean, in 2 years, for example, could we be talking about him being worth 50 million, that kind of thing?
2 years? Yeah. Realistically, yeah. That's honestly what it could be, because he's a player that you'd say is kind of that ready-made Premier League star. He's got all the qualities of being the standout Premier League individual. I think that every kind of strong, successful Premier League team needs a little bit of pizzazz and flashiness about them. And that's what Town now have with Amari Hutchinson. If he can then also turn that into getting goals, getting assists, playing regularly, helping this team stay up, hopefully, then you're looking at a player whose value, especially given the length of the contract, especially given his background at a youth level where he was so highly rated, given his own ambitions, we've spoken about that a lot. He's spoken about it a lot, about wanting to be the best, one of the best at least. He's got that drive. That's what you want. So all of those combined, yeah, you're looking at a player that if he has a good season, a good couple of years, a little bit more than that, especially if Town can keep their status in the high league, in the Premier League, hopefully, then you're looking at someone who can easily be worth a lot more than Town have paid for him now. So sure, it's a risk, but the reward, the potential reward there is just so significant given everything that they've got with this deal and with a player who's so young and so exciting.
Right, I'm going to ask, for me, there's a big question around Amari, which I'm going to ask you now. I asked Ross this on the live and he completely sat on the fence. His arse is just full of splinters having answered this question. So I'm going to ask you, Stu. Last season, Amari Hutchinson wasn't an every game starter. He was towards the end of the season. He was brilliant. We saw him play mostly out wide right on the right. We saw him play as a 10. Now they've spent £18 million on him. He kind of has to start. Certainly going to be more pressure on him starting. So where do you see him fitting in? If, and clearly it's a subject to change over the summer, that three behind the striker, you've got Broadhead left, Chaplin centre, Burns on the right. Where do you slot Amari Hutchinson in to there? Because he's going to be expecting, the fans will be expecting to see him start.
Long term, I think he'll be a number 10. That will be his position. Short term, I think we'll continue to see a mixture of him playing in all three of those roles. And that will be horses for courses. That will be game plan related, depending on whether Ipswich are, you know, away against Manchester City, for example, early on. I think you'd probably look at using his work rate and dynamism sort of out wide for counter-attacking qualities. And that I think maybe on the left, if you're looking at the current squad at the moment, that's where you have a bit of pace in Burns and Hutchinson in the wide roles for those sort of games. And then maybe in some of the inverted commas more winnable home games is where you have the more of the sort of silky qualities of Broadhead on that left hand side role, which might be seen as a bit of a luxury. His kind of off the ball stuff might get exposed a bit more, I think, in some of these bigger games. So he seemed to get a lot of his goals from that left hand side role last season, Hutchinson. I think maybe that might be the one where he gets more game time in the short term. But you know, ultimately, I think his career arc will see him end up sort of becoming a number 10.
Yeah, where do you like him most, AJ? Because I think if you pin me down and said, where do you like to see him play? I think I most enjoy seeing him as the 10, particularly with Burns outside him on the right. They were causing all sorts of trouble. And Amari tends to want to drift to the right anyway. So they were kind of overlapping each other. And it was good fun to watch. Where do you think he fits best?
Such a fluid system, though, isn't it? Because you have that. You can then bring midfielders forward. You can have Nathan Broadhead, a natural winger, who then obviously likes to be a bit more narrow so he can come in. You can have Davis around the left. So much changes with the systems. You can say, yeah, he's playing as a 10, but it almost becomes a right-sided 10, or just players drifting around all over the place. I enjoyed watching him the most as a number 10. And I agree with Stu in terms of saying I think that's probably where his career is going to take him. He's got the kind of the right build for it in a way. He's quite short, but he's so good with the ball at his feet. You're going to get the ball at your feet more if you're playing centrally. He's a good passer. He's got that eye for a goal. And then when he drifts, obviously he can cut inside and score, as we've seen. I mean, the whole game's obviously the one that will come to mind so much with that. In the short term, I do think probably my thoughts been he'll be on the right more than anything, at least at the start. Obviously, that will allow to accommodate Connor Chaplin in the team if he's going to be a regular starter next season as well. I like the idea of, and I know that we've spoken about him working with Burns, but I like the idea of him being that kind of player to take on as fullback. You've got to handle him cutting inside, giving a left back a few nightmares, having to try and stop those crosses and shots coming into the box. And then when you're knackered, Wes Burns comes on for the final 20 minutes with his electric pace just running at you. It'll change game by game, but I'd say in the short term, that's probably the move I'd go with.
Mm. Rossi, you've been quiet for a little while because obviously we already discussed this. Ipswich Town have already smashed their transfer record. Smashed isn't really enough of a word to explain what they've done. The record obviously was 4.75 million to Sampdoria for Matteo Cerreni back in 2001. Do you think they're going to do it again on top of this? Will they spend more than this? And how many times do you think they'll break that old record this summer? Do not sit on the fence.
Well, I'll have to... Obviously, striker is the big one. You know, you've got to spend a lot of money on the sexy striker up top who will score you the goals. Obviously, now it's very different. You don't get a 20-goal-a-season striker, only if you're Erling Haaland and other names. But it could happen. You just never know if a player comes up and they have to really fight for him. You just never know. 18 million is a lot of money. But we're in the Premier League now with the big boys. I think it was one of you boys put out there, obviously, that they don't send 18 million outright to Chelsea. It's in instalments, aren't they? So, you know, they won't be like going 18 million out of their bank account right now. So, yeah, I think, you know what? I'm not going to sit on the fence. I think they're going to do it again, actually.
Yeah.
Why not? They're going to do it again. They're going to smash that record. I don't think they'll double it, smash like 36 million or something, but I think they'll definitely smash it again.
Yeah. And we were saying this morning, Stu, I mean, not too long ago, obviously, when the takeover got done, we're talking about the club being valued at, I think we said 40 million or something at the time, didn't we? So now they're signing a player for half that. It kind of just shows how far we've come in a very short space of time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way of putting it, isn't it? 3 years on,
yeah,
finding players for almost half the value of the club. The only way I think they'll top this is on a striker. That's the only way I think they'll spend more. Obviously, there's talk that the Greek striker, I'm tempted his name, is it Fotis Ioannidis?
Ioannidis?
Ioannidis.
Yeah. I've been saying Ioannidis.
Okay.
You've gone for Ioannidis.
I haven't got it written down in front of me, but the let's call him the Greek striker. You know, there's talk of that being in the region of £20 million, isn't there?
Yeah.
Big money comes with the promotion to the Premier League, doesn't it? And most notably from the TV companies, we're saying now it's north of £100 million, the sort of the worth of promotion to the Premier League. We don't know for sure what the budget will be overall, but what we have discussed is there's still a lot of positions to fill, a lot of additions that need to happen. So it can't all sort of be blown on two or three players. So if it's going to happen, it will happen on a striker, and I shouldn't think it will be much more than this 18-20 that's been spent on Amari.
Exciting, heady days. Let's move on then from Amari. We maybe come back to him in a bit. So Amari signed. That happened last night. We kind of knew that was happening. The other thing we kind of knew was happening was Ben Johnson was coming in as a free agent. So at the other end of the scale, from mega money to no fee at all. He's also been announced this morning. And thank you very much, Ipswich Town, for making that early this morning. It just makes our day a lot easier from a logistics point of view. But Stu, do you want to talk a little bit about Ben Johnson? Because while this is not as clearly, it's not as sexy, it's not a spunking loads of money on a really exciting young player. It is a very, very interesting and it appears potentially astute signing because it covers needs. You haven't got to pay a fee. You've got a young player who's got a lot of experience already at the top level. It ticks a lot of boxes. Do you want to talk a little bit about Ben Johnson?
Yeah, it really does. West Ham offered him a new contract, by all accounts, a new long-term contract. There was talk of them offering another 5 years. He's come through at that club, been there a long time, never quite been able to nail down a first-team spot. He's had Soufal, Czech international, kind of ahead of him in recent times. But you can tell from his from the interviews that he's done and the first interview that he's done with Ipswich that he's got that hunger, that it's time to push himself out of his comfort zone and take that next step in his career. And I think this feels like a really sort of good match to me for a lot of the reasons that you discussed. Not every signing can be the sexy big money signings at the top end of the pitch. Right back was an area of concern for me going into this season. For all the talk about centre halves and strikers and Amari's return, Harry Clark, Achilles surgery, both Achilles, I think, wasn't it? So that there was a concern there. And also, I just wondered whether the step up to the Premier League. I love Harry Clark and the fact that he's an Ipswich boy, and I think he's been a superb signing for Ipswich and will continue to play his part going forwards. But I just thought they might need something a little bit more solid at right back, and I'd prefer Axel to be kind of part of that centre half unit. So right back was an area that I think they needed to address, and I'm glad they've addressed it in Ben Johnson, who looks like, as discussed, someone who's got that sort of desire to improve and better himself and push himself out of his comfort zone, which is key.
Yeah, we'll come to you in a minute, Ross, because I know you've done an insight video, which is going out actually in 5 minutes at midday. So if you are a subscriber, you can go and watch that, get a bit of insight into Ben Johnson's character and his history. But I'm going to start with you, AJ, because obviously you watched a lot of West Ham. We've spoken about him already. Very versatile player, primarily, a right back. Can play left back, so back up to Leaf as well. He's also played in midfield. And when this link first came out, and we were talking about it, and I said, obviously, it ticks a lot of boxes. You went, if they do that, that'll be a serious statement, a major coup. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk a little bit about what you've seen from Ben Johnson and why you thought that would be a big move for Town?
Yeah, I think that he's had a bit of an unfortunate couple of years, and he's touched on the uncertainty. But I think sometimes when you're in a team with quite high expectations, you have maybe an off game or something like that, you can become a little bit of a joke player, someone who hasn't really come in too much. And then when you watch him play and he comes in, he has had those performances a lot last season, he's just been excellent. And I think it's such a statement signing when you look at the competition that we're in for him as well. He was heavily linked with joining Crystal Palace before. He's been linked with Leeds, I know, in the Championship, Rangers as well. I'm pretty sure that there were others. And I think that just based on some of his earlier bits, fans maybe didn't appreciate him as much. And then when you see him coming in, especially with his versatility, you then start to recognise just how good he is. Coming in at right back, such a strong one-on-one defender, can then come in and cover on the left. He's played at centre-back at England youth level as well, fairly recently, getting put in midfield. People laughed at David Moyes for doing that against Sheffield United. I thought it was bonkers while watching that game, the Sheffield United game, and he was probably West Ham's best player that day. Started his career on the right wing. He can come and play everywhere. He is the new Don Ball, fantastic in terms of his versatility.
It's not started yet.
Oh, yes. Love that he's turned up to his first Ipswich training session with a West Ham European Champions bag. That was quite funny.
Has he?
No. Yeah, he has. So, all in all, there's just so much to like about it. He's such a good one-on-one defender. Stylistically, as we've touched on before, that the fact that he is more of a defensive player now and someone who can cover centre back, it suits Town's system with the switch to the back five when they go and do that. The Premier League experience that he has for someone of his age is good. The fact he's played in Europe, been a consistent part of a team that's won a European trophy. I mean, can you imagine saying that about a player that Town was? I know we talk about the Hutchinson thing and someone who's 18 million. Can you say that Ipswich are signing someone who's won a European trophy within the last couple of years and played a good part in doing that? That also feels pretty incredible. And having gone, as I kind of touched upon, as a figure that West Ham fans maybe didn't take too seriously, now that he's gone, you can see a lot of them on social media say, I'm really annoyed that we've offered him a five-year deal and he's gone, because they would have really liked to have kept him.
Yeah, and in the bit that Town put out about the signing, McKenna kind of picks up in there what a good character he is as well, Ross, which you can now talk a little bit about without giving away too much of the family jewels, because obviously that's a subscriber only insight bit that's going out. But from what you've been telling me, he is a properly bloody nice bloke. Took over a role from the legendary Mark Noble at West Ham as well. Tell us a bit more about what you've learned about him.
I think, you know, you can watch interviews of him and you can straight away see he's a, you know, grounded young man. You know, he's probably been brought up right. And, of course, West Ham, they're known for their academy. You know, they've got so many different graduates who have come through. But, yeah, the interviews I've seen of him, he's just... obviously, I haven't seen the Ipswich Town interview just yet, but I'm sure he speaks very well. And, obviously, he's come through England's, you know, youth set-ups as well. But just all around... just seems like a player who just wants to play football. He said in one interview that he literally got released every season. He literally got released, but he kept going. But yeah, a player that will work hard, and I look forward to seeing him. I think he's going to become a fan's favourite just for his bubbly character and just being, you know, once again, ticked all those McKenna boxes where, you know, he can play in those different positions. And obviously he's got that, you know, growing up with that West Ham sort of culture and stuff. So yeah.
What's the Noble thing you're telling me? That obviously Mark Noble was a club legend. He departs and then Ben Johnson takes over one of the roles.
Yeah. So yeah, obviously when Mark Noble sort of first came through at West Ham, I think there was a story about, you know, that the dressing room was left with like a mess. So Mark Noble decided that he needed to make sure it was clean. So away games and even home games, he made sure it was clean. So when Mark Noble retired, Ben Johnson apparently took over that role. So he decided that, yeah, he wanted to make sure that the dressing room was nice and clean and just respect the away team as well, or the, you know, the visiting, you know, ground they'll go into and make sure it's clean. So yeah, don't know if he'll take that role at Ipswich Town. We shall see.
That's really important, those qualities, yeah. And it's not to be underestimated. We've talked sort of in glowing terms about Dominic Ball, Caden Jackson, Junoy Dinassian almost certainly will leave, and what they've done off the pitch and how that cannot be underestimated in the kind of the team behind the team. And those qualities needed replacing. Obviously, you know, what matters more than everything is they've got to be good footballers and ready for this ginormous step up to the Premier League. But, if you know, some of those sort of personality traits also needed to be replaced. And it looks like Ben Johnson we'll do that. You talked about the photos of him arriving today. A stark contrast. You talked about the pizzazz of Amari, where we talked about his haircut and he's got Balenciaga clothes on and all of that. And then you've got Ben's kind of carrying about three pairs of boots just sort of in his hands and sort of rocking up in a casual T-shirt. And it's you need that sort of blend, not just of playing styles, but of personalities as well. So everyone rightly is going to be kind of focused on the Amari excitement today, but this one shouldn't be underestimated at all. I think you asked me on a recent pod what is kind of the limit of what Ipswich could do, and I think I mentioned Ben Johnson as being at kind of the very upper limit of what Ipswich might be able to do, given, you know, as Alex said, half the Premier League seemed to be kind of sniffing around him, and Ipswich have been able to probably sell him the fact that, you know, you're going to have a really good chance of playing regular first team football and be part of something here. And the McKenna factor, I would imagine, is probably the reason why Ipswich have been able to sign these two players above everything else.
Balenciaga's fun to say, isn't it? I still think at some point that's going to be exposed as a big joke. They're just going to see how far they can go and get people to buy things with Balenciaga written on them. Because you can buy essentially a sellotape reel, can't you, to put on your wrist, which is about $4,000 or something. And they've also done high visibility jacket, haven't they, Balenciaga, for another ridiculous amount of money. So I look forward to that eventually being exposed as a big social experiment to see how much money people will part with just for the name. It is fun to say, though. In terms of other things that have happened today, AJ, unexpected. We knew Amari and Ben Johnson were on their way in. We knew there was an issue with Hladke and his contract because we talked about it, kind of ticking on a bit, and I was being a bit concerned about it. Peek behind the curtain time this morning, we had a team meeting at 9. Stu comes on and we're talking about stuff, and he says, oh yeah, Hladke and Will is going to be announced. And in my head I'm going, yeah, that's good, he's going to be announced, he's going to sign, oh, he's leaving. And I was like, we all went, what? So that was unexpected. He's out of contract. He's now officially a free agent. So you think, oh, in fact, me and Ross were actually talking on the live. Okay, so he's a free agent. That doesn't mean he's necessarily going. It might just mean... And then the club put out a statement saying he's departed the club, which feels pretty final. Your thoughts on that, first of all? And obviously, there's a chat we can have around the goalkeeping position, because there's a bunch of questions around that.
Yeah, I think as recently as last night, I was sat there thinking... It's probably not going to get announced today on the Monday, but I'm still confident. I've been confident this entire time. I think we've probably all been fairly confident that there'll be an agreement, even when these quotes came out that were a little bit worrying in terms of getting this new deal. I was still confident it was going to happen, because it felt like the best move for all parties. It felt like the best move for Town, for Vaz, and the fact that it's not has come as a surprise. And look, you can have your question marks over him. I understand that, but... You also have to bear in mind, this is someone who kept 14 clean sheets in the Championship, someone who adapted to one of the hardest styles of play, I'd say, in the Championship last season. He's faced so much difficulty in terms of having to be the goalkeeper for a team that has come up from the third tier and essentially has tried to play a bit of suicide football at times with the way that they play out from the back, with the attacking style, had been so open, some unbelievable saves, incredible distribution, stuff like that. So to lose him is a big blow. Someone who is experienced, has got good age behind him, and it is a surprise not to see him sign on. And a real shame, as a fantastic character as well. This is, again, you've got to think about the person behind the player. Yes, a really good player, but every time we've spoken to him, he's been absolutely lovely, great guy. So a real shame to see him move on, assuming that there is that sense of finality in the statement that's come out. But hopefully he can get that big move that will be, you'd imagine, the last kind of big one of his career, wherever that's going to be. But does mean that, as we're going to touch on, Town needs possibly quite a bit of work in the goalkeeping department, depending on what happens with the other two.
Yeah, your thoughts on this, Stu? Because it was a surprise. Although this is dragging on, I didn't ever think really that it wouldn't get sorted. And it'd be interesting. I don't know if we'll ever know where what the tipping point was. Whether it was Vaz wanting assurances that he was going to be number one, and the club couldn't do that. Was it the club deciding that maybe he's not a Premier League goalkeeper? What did you make of it all?
Above everything else, sort of saddened that he's moved on, because I think he's. You know, my interactions with him, he's a really nice guy, maybe one that keeps himself to himself a little bit more amongst the squad, but just a nice family man. But putting all that aside, I don't want people to be listening to this going, well, you're focusing so much on personality. I don't really care about that. It's whether they're good footballers. He was in my top three players last season, and there's a bit of revisionism gone on sort of since the season's finished, where people have gone, oh, he did have a few howlers along the way. I mean, you could count those probably on one hand, and they were certainly by far and away kind of outweighed by, you know, point-saving stops that he made and the distribution that led to goals as well. He would have been worth a sizable chunk of points last season as an individual, and I thought his playing style would have transferred to the Premier League quite well. So it felt like, as Alex said, that surely it suited all parties and they would come to an agreement. But maybe Vaz is 33, 34 in November. You've got to remember his career has been at St Mirren, at Salford in League Two. He signed for Ipswich as a League One player. So the wages that he can earn this summer in his, you know, in his last big contract, he has to think very carefully about that and maximise that. And Ipswich have obviously, have got a bit of a balancing act going on with where they spend. So ultimately that didn't align. The quotes from him last week sort of suggested... He suggested all along that he wants to stay, and he suggested that he had a chat with Kieran McKenna as recently as last month, where Kieran said, I want you to stay, I want you to be my number one. And the problem seemed to be around the numbers and the conversation between club representatives, you would imagine Mark Ashton and Vaz's agent, and they just weren't able to kind of agree on a number. So it's a shame. I think, for me, it would have been kind of better the devil you know, for want of a better phrase. Mm. You don't want too much upheaval going into the Premier League. So I would have liked to have seen him stay. I think he could have stepped up, but not to be. And now Ipswich have got to go out and strengthen in the goalkeeper department.
Yeah, maybe a reminder as well that football can be a bit of a cutthroat business at times, especially when you step up into the Premier League. Rossi, Town then are going to have to sign keepers this summer. We know that Christian Walton is there. We speculated before on this pod that maybe he'd be departing, look for a number one job somewhere else. We know Kieran Slicker is talking about going out on loan. Do you think then that Town are now going to need to sign a new number one? Or is there any argument now that Christian Walton, who, Leicester's not forget, before the injury at the start of last season, he was the unquestioned number one, best keeper in League One, and someone who has Premier League credentials. Is there an argument you think now that he can step up and be that number one? Or would you say that now Tan need to go out and sign a new number one?
I think they do. I'm actually a bit concerned about it, actually. Someone made a good point. Shout out to George Lee and the KOA Posse chat. Obviously, part of the KOA army who help us with content. Mm. And coming up to a new league and finding a new number one is a problem, I feel. I don't know if you guys agree, because that's, you know, Vaz is one of the big reasons why we play the football we play. I know you can find a player in that sort of mould, but they've got to have, you know, a really good pre-season to learn the way we play. I don't think it's a really promoted team to that happen. I said it happens a lot where they do sign a new number one and something that doesn't work out and they a massive flop, and you know that is probably one of the reasons they go down. So it's a bit of concern for me. That I'm sure they'll find the right, you know, goalie. But yeah,
I can understand those concerns. But then I guess the flip side is we all probably felt the same when Christian Walton got injured on the eve of last season, and Ipswich was suddenly essentially throwing in a new player, even though Vaz had been there a couple of years. He hadn't really played too much, and that worked out okay, didn't it? But yeah, goalkeeper's a key position. We've seen in recent years now how clubs will spend big money, especially on those that want these kind of ball-playing goalkeepers, you know, Man City, Liverpool, Edison, Alisson. I was looking forward to seeing what Vaz could do at a higher level with his style of play. I think, you know, they have to try and replace him sort of like for like in terms of someone who's comfortable with the ball at their feet. Been a lot of talk about Kyle Rushworth at Brighton, young goalkeeper who excelled for Swansea last year. You know, sounds like he is of that mould. So we'll have to see. I mean, it's not impossible. I agree with you. I think they will sign someone, and I think they will sign someone to be the number one. It's a difficult sell otherwise, but it's not impossible that Christian Walton steps up. You know, he was someone that was on the verge of being Brighton's number one goalkeeper in the Premier League until, again, he had a really unfortunate late pre-season injury for them, and they went out and signed, I can't remember the name of the goalkeeper, is he Spanish, the goalkeeper that they signed, and then he ended up getting the number
Sanchez, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then that kind of led to him sort of being loaned out again. So, but I just think stylistically now, Ipswich have moved on with this kind of playing out from the back style of play, and I'm not sure Walton is fits that necessarily.
AJ, almost as if we planned it this morning, we dropped a bit with you looking at potential goalkeeping targets. Stu's already mentioned Rushworth there. Do you want to throw a few more names out there that I've seen when me and Rossi were doing the live this morning? A couple of names coming up. Cooper, which I think was in your list, and also Keller at Liverpool. We'll talk a little bit about potential names you might want to throw around.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing to start off with is we're talking about Vaz going, but with question marks over all three goalkeepers, this could be a lot more than that. You're looking at, if Walton doesn't get that kind of first team football promise, what's his situation going to be? Do you now say to Kieran Slick, oh, hang on, actually, we might need you to stick around, but what's that going to do for his career? So questions there. Cooper's an interesting one, because obviously he's turned down a new contract at Plymouth. He wasn't on my goalkeepers list, but I think I had him on the championship list I did a few weeks ago. He's someone that, again, had a bit of a nasty injury, but suits the style of play quite well, right age bracket with, I think, he's only got a year left on his deal. He'll be someone that people will like. And Kelleher, he's going to be in demand, because I think Liverpool will be quite keen to keep him. He is now at an age where he'll need to decide whether he wants regular football or to stay in this Liverpool system. So it will be interesting to see with there. Rushworth was another, obviously, that we've touched upon. And then you're looking definitely within English football in terms of who are the big kind of names in that sense. Alex Palmer was someone who kept an absurd amount of clean sheets. I think he shared the golden glove with Meslier last season at West Brom. 18 clean sheets. Helps that he played in front of a rock-solid defence. You've got people like Jack Butland, been linked with a move away from Rangers, but they'll want good money to cash in. And the interesting wild card I'll throw out was Matej Kovar, who's at Bayer Leverkusen. And although it sounds like a totally random name, someone that has done okay as well, been at Manchester United system, so that's the link there. Joined Leverkusen for just under 8 million. I think he kind of suits that profile as well, and the Czech Republic international. So there's options out there, but the unique side of it is, as we touched upon, trying to find someone that suits playing out from the back. This isn't just about being a good shot stopper. Goalkeepers have developed so much, and it's got to be about distribution. It's got to be about playing out from the back, ball at your feet. And there's not as many as you might think that tick all those boxes in the same way.
Ipswich might see this as an opportunity, because you know you might have got to this summer. Say Vaz had been under contract for longer, and you might have felt that you know, you wouldn't necessarily wanted to kind of push him out of the door, but you might see it as an opportunity. Not everybody's looking for a goalkeeper every summer. You know, when you compete for a striker, most clubs are in for a striker. But this summer, you've mentioned a lot of names there, that and not everyone's going to be after a goalkeeper. And Ipswich might feel that this is an opportunity to strike while there is some names available. So it could work out for the best. But yeah. Like with everyone who's left the club this summer, they've played their part in such a fantastic 12 to 24 months for Ipswich Town. There's always going to be an element of sadness, I think, with anyone who leaves. But as you said, Mark, no room for sentiment in this game. Got to keep improving and moving forwards, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, I'm very much in the trust the process camp, but I'm also on this particular point, because probably I wasn't really expecting this to happen. I probably am now more in the slightly concerned camp around the keeper, because yes, obviously, Vaz came in out of the cold, hadn't played a lot, but he'd been around the team. He knew the players. He knew the system. He'd been training. And now for a keeper to come in as a new number one, obviously a lot of success of a keeper is the chemistry with the defenders and that kind of understanding. That's hard to build in a very short space of time, you would say, especially if we're looking at some new defenders as well. Obviously, with Ben Johnson already signed, we talked about centre-backs. So I'd probably be on the slightly concerned side of things around the goalkeeper thing at this point. But hey, trust the process. The next question, Stu, of course, it never stops. Two in the door, one out. The question is, what more? What more do we need, friends? So should we have a little talk about that? First of all, obviously, when we talked about this at the start of the summer and you did your analysis and that kind of stuff, backup left back clearly needed to leave Davis. We talked about Cameron Humphreys being the only kind of one on the depth chart there, and you'd expect him to go out on loan. Now with Ben Johnson in the door, and we talked about the difficulty of signing someone to come in and just be a backup to Leif Davis, because there's no way you're going to come in and start over Leif Davis. Is that still a need, do you think? Or will they be like, right, we've got Ben Johnson, he can do that if needed?
I think it's a need, but it's nowhere near the top of the priority list.
Yeah. So what else are we looking at then? There was a story yesterday about this dossier being leaked, McKenna's master plan. Which didn't really, I mean, if you read it, it didn't really expose anything we didn't really know in terms of where they're going to be looking at players. We know that obviously they're going to sign a striker, Stewie. Where else do you think they'll be looking at going, right, we've got Amari in, tick. We've got our right back / utility defender, tick. Where else should we be looking? Clearly, goalkeeper is one of them now.
Striker's top priority, and I think that's... Yep. You know, it was George Hurst, I think, is someone that I'm excited to see step up. And I think he can do, you know, I think he can do well in the Premier League, but he needs some competition, no doubt about it. I would imagine Ali Alhamady will go out on loan at some stage, potentially. So striker's the top priority. And as we said, if there's going to be any more big money spent, it will be there. But still, in quite a lot of other positions, I think there's some there's some reinforcements required. I think there's another sort of midfielder, a sort of a box-to-box, tall, athletic, powerful type midfielder to come in and compete with Morsi, Luongo Taylor. And then even that sort of the support forwards in that sort of three behind the striker. Now, we've got Hutchinson, Burns, Chaplin, Broadhead, Harness. That's five. I would say that Kieran McKenna will probably want seven or eight sort of competing for that, given how much he likes to use subs and be able to have different attributes to change things up for games, within games. So you're still looking at, you know, two or three more signings across those positions, really, I would say.
Mm. We had a bit of an update, didn't we, on that front, AJ, last week. Jeremy Sarmiento's dad, that seems to be his want, was talking about the future for Jeremy and there being options. Do you want to just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Jeremy Sarmiento saga situation has been a little bit interesting, hasn't it? Because we all remember when the news first broke him coming to town, there were reports that Town would have the option to trigger another year loan if they won promotion to the Premier League, which they did. And then on top of that, he'd spoken out a few times saying, well, I'm excited to be here for the next 6 months and hopefully longer. He had that a bit of a bit part role with the odd start in there. Now gone away to the Copa America, where he's just gone through to the knockout stages. Congrats, Jeremy Sarmiento. Good luck up against Lionel Messi this weekend. That'll be fun for him. But his future seems a little bit up in the air. He's not gone and spoken to Brighton's new manager, who I can't remember his name, but he's 31 years old, which is weird. So he'll need to go and have those conversations, but says he's due back at Brighton for pre-season training. The main aim is going to be to play at Brighton, but with the competition they've got there, I'm not sure that will happen. And his dad's now come out. I think his dad is his agent there. So they're very close in terms of what his progression's been like football-wise. Saying that there's options for him to go to Spain or to Germany if a move away from Brighton is going to happen this summer. So one to keep an eye on. You'd imagine that Town would be keen to have him back. I don't know how we all feel, but I certainly think that he'd be a really good option to have in the Premier League. I've got kind of seven different positions listed down in terms of where they need strength, and one of them would be a backup left winger who can come in off the bench and have the odd start. And I think he ticks the box perfectly there, but looks like it's not going to be as straightforward as perhaps we might have hoped it would have been.
Mm. And while we're on names and potential targets, Ross, let's throw this spicy meatball into the transfer wok, shall we? Because it was something that was around there over the weekend reported. We talked about box-to-box midfielders. Report that perhaps Flynn Downs may be of interest to Ipswich Town, formerly of this parish, would very much tick boxes in midfield. Clearly spent last season on loan at Southampton, got promoted there. Talks of him signing permanently, not done yet. £15 million is apparently what they're after, West Ham. How do you feel about old Flynn coming back? Because if you think about him and what we saw of him at Town and what he's gone on to do and what kind of player he is, he would seem to be quite a good fit for what Town might want.
I like Flynn Downs. He's a good player.
Mm.
Obviously, I wouldn't say that bridge has been burnt, but obviously how, you know, left the club and, you know, of course he came out with those comments, you know, the fans don't know the real story and stuff like that. It would be an interesting one if he did ever return. You know, it wasn't like a sour reception, you know, when we played Southampton. Obviously, Town got the laugh anyway, because we got the goal, and obviously Sarmiento, as we mentioned earlier, scored that late winner. But yeah, he's a player I'm sure McKenna probably likes. You know, he's good age. Has played in the Premier League, West Ham a little bit, obviously with Southampton. Although I think he'll probably reunite with Russell Martin, because he, you know, obviously was with him at Swansea, at Southampton. I'm sure Flynn Downs want to be playing Premier League football now after, you know, a couple of seasons out on loan. Mm. Or was it just one loan, I think? So yeah, going back to your original question, I would like it. But I don't know. I can't see it happening, but we shall see.
Stu, how about you? Flynn Downes. Obviously, he knows the club. He was formerly one of the crown jewels. And we talk about football being a bit of a cutthroat business. No room for sentiment. You look at midfield. Sam Worsley's a skipper. You can't see him being replaced. But Massimo Luongo, you start to look at him and using the Ross Hall's criteria, you go, always getting on a bit. Maybe we need a young, hungry new midfielder to come in. Oh, there's this guy who knows the club already. He's a box-to-box quality midfielder. Got a bit of bite in the tackle. Ticks all these boxes. What would you say, Watson?
I'd take him in a heartbeat, Flynn. Yeah. Forget about the sort of protracted exit and the transfer request. That was a different time for the football club. That was a difficult period for everybody involved. Maybe some of that wasn't handled well from either parties at the time. I think there was some sort of alpha male stuff going on with sort of Paul Cook and Flynn Downes. But as I say, that's completely different times now. What we do know is that Flynn Downes is full of drive, determination, ambition. He's a leader. He captained Ipswich at a very young age, lest we not forget. And he's improved a hell of a lot since he's left Ipswich Town. And I think we saw that in that Southampton game. He was really good in that game. Mm-hmm. And he's maybe not the size that I've talked about and the box-to-box sort of midfielder that I've talked about, but if they could get him at the right price, I would certainly welcome him back. And I think that would all be forgotten about the minute he pulled on the shirt and played well again. I think all that would be fine. But the Southampton sort of going up maybe changes that scenario. It felt to me when we were talking about who did we want to win the playoffs, it felt like for that to be a reality, it needed Southampton to stay down to me. But we'll see.
Time will tell. Already obviously a good start. Boys, obviously they're back at training today. We've talked already about the pictures of them coming back to training. I don't know if we're going to get to see any kind of insights. Obviously they did a behind the scenes bit last week, which we talked about. But what I'd really like to see, as we've talked about a lot on this podcast, you know, today is going to be the day they do things like the bleep test and the body fat percentage, the skin folds with the calipers to see who's put a bit of weight on, who's not hitting their weights they want them at, who's put some body fat percentage on over the summer, what their goals are. And I'd also like to know, we know that Massimo said that when they got back first day of training last year, they got handed the Burnley running stats. So are they going to walk in today and get handed Manchester City's running stats and being told, right, this is what you've got. You thought you were good last year, boys, but now this is what you've got to do this season. This is what Man City did in terms of running. I'd love to know that. Anything you're particularly looking for from the first day return to training, AJ? You've already spoken about the West Ham Cup winner's bag, which Ben Johnson's rocked up with. Anything else you're looking out for?
Oh, the outfits are good, aren't they? I feel like it'll be good to, you know, what would be a really fantastic feature? Let's have town players' cars. Don't think we'd be allowed to have that as a feature, but getting to see that, like, as they pull in to the car. But who's changed their car over the summer? Who's used their
who's new driving Premier a League? Premier League car now?
Yeah, who's got new wages now that have been promoted and have spent it on some sort of fancy sports car? I'd love that. That would be fantastic. Don't see that one happening. All the behind the scenes stuff I think we enjoy, don't we? And getting the kind of the subtle teasers for the kit as well. Different little bits and pieces. Hopefully that won't be too long.
Obviously that they tease the kit with the Amari picture of the shoulder. Breaking news, obviously the kit's blue. Big shock. AJ, have you ever considered, you're young and thrusting like Amari, have you ever considered going the bleach blonde look?
No, have not. Don't really think I've got the hair to pull it off. I also feel like with the bit of beard, it would probably look a little bit weird. I don't think it would quite scan all together. Not for me, unfortunately.
I was bleach blonde when I was actually about Amari's age, 20. There are some pictures of me somewhere. I'll see if I can dig them out. It was an interesting look for young Heath. That was around the turn of the century, Eminem sort of time. So I was a walking cliche there. With lines in my eyebrows, etc. I'm also interested. Obviously, Amari's come back with the bleach blonde hair. That does seem to be back in fashion, doesn't it? There's a couple of bleach blondes in the England outfit as well. Footballers tend to like follow the trend, don't they? So I'm wondering if we're going to see maybe now Amari's come back bleach blonde. I wonder if obviously we've had Wolfie as well, haven't we? Are there going to be any more bleach blonde haircuts? Do you reckon who's most likely to adapt that? Do you reckon? Wes has changed his hair. Who would you like to see as a bleach blonde? Just Kieran McKenna, obviously. Broadly,
yeah, yeah. Lead by example.
Yeah.
Get the gaffer to do it.
That would be amazing.
Well, I'm looking at it here. There's no one jumping off the page. Obviously, Wolfie's done it before, but I don't think I can say anyone in here at all.
Certainly not Sam Walsh.
I can chip it. I think George Hurst would be
yes,
my
I can
one.
See that, actually.
What do you think? Yeah.
I can see
he's
that.
He's got the right kind of style for it. It's quite short.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
What about Burns? You know, he's chopped his locks off. I think he'd be one that would go with the trend a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. I hope a few of them do it, if I'm honest. Is that something you've ever thought of doing, Rossi? On the old bleach blonde? Obviously, you'd have to do your beard as well, which would look a bit weird, but...
Yeah, I'd look like Father Christmas, wouldn't I, with the white beard.
I'd like to see it.
Nah, not for me. I'm very... With my hairstyle, I'm very just like, this is what I like. So, yeah. Skin fair, you know, this is my style. One day, my barber always says to me, she goes, you know, anything different this time? I just go, usual, please. And she goes, fine. She's a little bit disappointed because she wants to do something different with me. So, you know, you never know. May switch up, but this is the current situation.
I can't contribute to this conversation. Sorry. Maybe the whole team, maybe the whole Ipswich team is kind of this show of unity. Could all do it at the same time. A bit like Romania in 98. Do you remember when they all dyed their hair yellow?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a thought. Don't know if Sam Morsi would be on board with that.
Sam Morsi absolutely would not. No.
No.
I've been watching on, speaking of kind of team dynamics and leaders and that kind of stuff. I don't know if any boys have watched it. It's on Prime 99, which is the story of the Man United, obviously treble winners from, in many ways, when I think back to it, like the golden era of football for me, that kind of period, and what a leader Roy Keane was. And it's so interesting to kind of hear about the dynamics, because obviously McKenna comes from that Man United culture, and the way the players talk about that was what we did. We scored goals late, we won games. And Alex Ferguson said, no team of mine will ever give up, ever give in. And it was just kind of in the blood of the club. And you start to feel like that's kind of the way that town are now, isn't it? That kind of that culture, that never give up, never back down, never beaten sort of stuff. I think it's really interesting. Before we go, Steve, I want to ask you, because it was your 10th anniversary this weekend. So you treated Mrs. Watson to a weekend away. You're in Lavenham, which is a place that whenever I go to, I think, why don't I come here more? It's beautiful. And I bet in the sun this weekend, it was absolutely lovely, wasn't it?
Very nice. Yeah, I can recommend the Lavenham Swan if anyone's not stayed there before. It's a beautiful, obviously historic Lavenham with hundreds of years of history. I think that building, the Swan, is like 600 years old, and you've got all the sort of the wonky old buildings lining the street. I think they filmed a bit Harry Potter there, actually, in Lavenham. Mm-hmm. Very nice, thank you. Yeah, very nice indeed.
Excellent. Anything else to mention, boys, before we crack on? We've got your insight video coming, haven't we, Rossi? We had your Kevin Brew chat drop yesterday. If you haven't listened to Stu's chat with Dominic Ball as well, that was out last Friday. That's available to listen to and watch. If you're a subscriber, go back and watch that as well. Anything else to mention, boys? How would we grade, AJ, the summer so far? Is there any way you can't grade it an A thus far? Re-sign McKenna, sign Amari Hutchinson, break club transfer record, also add a very astute little free agent signing as well.
Yeah, maybe like another 4 or 5. No, I think you can't really look past what they've done so far. I think it's a fairly easy A. And all the rumours as well, I know that they are annoying for a lot of people, especially for you. You hate them. Mm-hmm. But they show that the club are working a lot, even if there's not a lot in some of them. Some of them are literally just going to come from nowhere and won't be true. But the fact that there are so many shows that this is a club who's really trying to get things going this summer. And yeah, that's exciting. So can't complain at all. Definitely would be an A for me.
Excellent. Before
A
we go,
plus, I'm gonna upgrade that to an A plus. July the 1st.
Yeah.
And as you say, keep McKenna stuff in there as well. It's a pretty quiet market so far. So I think but if you'd have said by July 1st, there's obviously still a long way to go and a lot more business to do. But I don't think you could have asked for any more. By this stage of the summer. And I should add, you said what other areas. I didn't even mention centre-half in that chat earlier, and there's quite a few centre-back names floating around at the moment. Joe Rodon, who was someone I threw out there on a chat recently, I think he's now starting to get linked amongst others, Jacob Greaves. So that's clearly another area that they're looking to strengthen as well. So it's pretty much all departments, a lot of business to do, but well on track at the moment. Yeah, excited by what they've managed to do by July 1st.
It's good, isn't it, boys? I feel like we're properly on the downward slope now towards the season starting.
Just need some friendlies to be announced now.
Exactly. That's what we need the friendlies. Obviously, that's got to happen fairly soon. But from that kind of surreal feeling of promotion happens and then football stops for a month, then we get the fixtures and it's Liverpool at home, Manchester City away, and you start to think, bloody hell, this is actually happening. Then they re-sign McKenna. They've signed Amari Hutchinson. They're back in training. We're seeing them coming back. It's starting to feel very real and very exciting now. And in terms of excitement, friends, before we go, I just want to trail something we're producing, which I would hopefully say is exciting. You'll agree. Last season, Ipswich Town season was incredible and they did the impossible. So to do that, to mark that, we're producing something special this summer, which I'll just flash up here for people watching. It's this, and I'm sorry it doesn't fill the screen, Ross, but this is the only image I've got. It's Mission Impossible, and it's basically the story of Ipswich Town season last season. So the idea is it's the perfect kind of timeless memento, keepsake, whatever you want to call it, of the season that Town defied all the odds and finally got back to the Premier League for the first time in 22 years. So what it is a collection of every single match report that we printed last season from Alex and Stu. A lot of the best pictures, so Ross, Steve Waller, Warren Page, all their pictures are in there. Obviously, the promotion pictures as well. We've got Stuart Watson's promotion verdict as a kind of timeless reminder of the feeling around the club at that point. There's a roll of honour, so every single player that played the season, it is essentially, as I say, something you can buy and keep and hopefully show your grandkids. And they'll be going, what? Ipswich Town, they just got promoted to the Premier League. They've just won the Champions League for the 15th time. I'm not interested. But yeah, this is maybe where it all starts. So that is now available, friends, to pre-order for £7.99. So if you order it now, you get £2 off. And you can also have your name actually inside it as a kind of an extra little bit of a special memento. So if you want to do that, you can go onto our website now and pre-order it. And also, until Thursday, we've got the £4 for 4 months offer for all our content, or 40% off for a year, which obviously, given everything that's happening, now would seem to be a good time to sign up, friends, if you haven't already, and take you through the rest of the summer, through the friendlies, through the kit launches, and through the Premier League season kicking off. Bloody hell, friends. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, mate. Boys, anything else to mention before we take our leave? We've done almost, in fact, we're just over, but the perfect length of a podcast, the golden hour. Anything else to mention, boys?
No other business.
Excellent. Friends, we've brought you a Monday podcast today. Obviously, we couldn't not, given everything that's happening at Ipswich Town. It's very, very exciting. Just a reminder, then support our sponsor, use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on all that excellent stuff. Leave us a 5-star review, if you could, on iTunes. That helps lift us visibility-wise in the charts, and also follow us across all our social medias, Kings of Anger, on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. All those social medias, get involved with that. And obviously, if you do follow us on there, you'll also have seen this morning when me and Ross went live twice in the space of a matter of minutes to talk about Amari and then Ben Johnson signing. So you get those live videos as well and get alerted when we're going live, which we're going to do a bit more of this summer. Next up, hopefully, the kit we can go live and talk about when that eventually drops. Friends, Ipswich Town are back in training officially for the Premier League. They've just completely obliterated their transfer record. 18 million plus for Amari Hutchinson. Starboy is back. They've made a very astute defensive signing as well in Ben Johnson. So much to be excited about. Follow it all with us throughout the summer. Have a great rest of the week. Who knows if we'll be back? We'll see if anything happens this week. But if not, friends, have a great week, a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next time.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.